Hi, welcome back to Books and Broomsticks. I'm Katta Gwitchot.
And I'm Matt Hatter Plays.
And today we are talking about our practices and the differences in what it looked like at the beginning versus what it does now, then and now.
Which is kind of a great, I don't know, I kind of like being a little reflective.
I guess we can kind of start off with how did we get started in practicing? Your origin story is a lot more interesting than mine, so you can start.
I was a shit teenager. Yeah, I was kind of a poopy head who decided that rage was the best way to start a practice. So 10 out of 10, fleeing curses everywhere and yada yada. But even as a little kid, like we had kind of ghosts around us all the time. Like my grandma was for sure witchy AF, like make no mistakes. But yeah, my entire start was basically angst against the world.
That's a good a start as any. Mine was I got out of a shitty relationship, saw a blue jay, and I was like, I should look into animal symbolism. Then I found Wicca.
Oh, you went hard.
I was never really a Wiccan. I don't think I ever really obeyed the Wiccan read, but all of the source texts that I was using were Wiccan.
Yeah, let's talk about source texts, I suppose. Something should have told me that folklore was going to be my life goals. Whatever, doesn't matter. Because I never really did a bunch of the Wiccan reading. I mean, eventually I did, right? Like, I think most of us at least looked into green witchcraft and Wicca. I think that was the most readily available
It's
stuff.
also the most ma it was the most mainstream like 10 years ago, except for I don't even know if Silver Ravenwolf is Wiccan.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I never got her books.
Honestly, yeah, I don't think I have ever read anything by her. I don't think I have, at least. But my references were a bunch of people like kind of around me. Like, I didn't grow up in the best neighborhood. In fact, I didn't grow up with any money at all. Like we were broke. Like I was living with my grandma, my mom and my grandma lived in the same house because my mom was working two jobs and we still didn't have any money. And my dad was in and out of my life. So I learned from the people around me, like ye old fashioned way, going, "Hey yo, wait a second, you do this and all of a sudden you get money?" And then they were like, "Yeah, witchcraft."
I didn't have a teacher, dude. I just had my mom who was like, never hex anyone. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. And then hex someone. So,
Yeah, which it did not go well. It
the
was
infamous Lemon Hex of 2017? 2018?
oof.
It was 2017, I think.
Solid.
Infamous
Yeah.
Lemon Hex of 2017. Is well known, also known as the Lemon Gutter Hex by some people, or the Gutter Lemon.
Solid.
In my family, it is known. I'm still, blamed for everything that happened during those 3 years, 4 years.
I mean, oof.
Yeah.
The big oof. Yeah, no, I was throwing curses back and forth like it meant nothing. You know, honestly, I'm really glad that the white girl karma is not how it generally works. I will worry about it in my next lifetime if that actually is the truth of the matter. All
But you
right,
said
because
white girl karma.
I did say it that way.
Well,
1000%.
I am almost happy now that there are more resources specifically surrounding like how what witchcraft looks like and especially like baneful magic and doing it safely, because I didn't have access to either of those, and I thought that my practice had to look like Wiccan.
I 100% agree with you. Ever since like community and the internet like really became this big massive thing where we could just connect to each other so quickly, it altered everything. Like, before, it was kind of a everybody just throw spaghetti against the wall or listen to whatever was the mainstream at the very second time, until you finally get to see just what everybody else is doing, until everybody gets to kind of connect the dots and go, holy sh, we've been doing this way weird, y'all.
You said throw spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah, because there's an old saying. So basically the idea is you throw spaghetti at the wall or whatever sticks. Because if you throw spaghetti at the wall and it sticks to the wall, then it's done.
That's only accurate with gluten pasta.
Right. I guess this was a very unhelpful analogy to the gluten-free
It is very
friend.
Unhelpful for me.
Yeah, so.
what other media? I mean, I watched The Fucking Craft and was like, this is the best shit ever.
Oh, yeah, I loved. I mean, we did the whole episode. Like, I used to love watching a bunch of witchy stuff. And then, of course, I thought that, like, there had to be some kernel of truth to that, and really glad that there wasn't, like, a lot of the time.
I think that there's a push. I always find it so interesting because there's a huge push against social media and people showing their crafts and being open about it on the internet, right? Like, at least from the older generation, some of the older generation. I also know people that are like, this is great. I think that people were more likely to appropriate and do harmful things when they didn't have access to someone telling them not to do it that way, and why.
Yeah, we didn't have professionals like at our fingertips. And yeah, there's obviously going to be a big argument on whether or not the internet has caused more appropriation or less. But I honestly say that we're much better off now having those leaders that, you know, pop on the internet and they go, "Ayo, stop."
Well, you think of metaphysical stores too, when in what they carry based off of capitalism and consumerism. A lot of the times there are not tools that your ancestors would have used or like you even connect with. I mean, I talked to someone the other day. Well, they were like, I've just been using, you know, White Sage and Palo. And I'm like, do you feel like you connect with it? And they're like, I mean, it's what I was taught to use. And I'm like, that doesn't answer my question. Do you feel like it works with you? And they're like, what do you mean by that? And I'm like, do you feel like you have a good relationship with the plant and you know how to use it and it wants to work with you? And they're like, And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's go see Rosemary. Come on. We're talking to Rosemary.
Let's go vibe over here. Even the way it's set up because of these drastic changes in market now that we have such influences out there. When I was a kid, you went to a metaphysical store. It looked a lot wildly different than it does now. There are far more education tools and far less of what should I say? How to say? There's far less items that shouldn't have been in a metaphysical store. You know, you don't see as many dream catchers as you used to. You don't see as many, like, I don't know, rain sticks as you used to. Like, you're starting to see actual more diversity, and on top of that, you're actually starting to see more open practice tools. And on top of that, you're starting to see a lot more curios, which used to be considered just kind of trash and people would throw away if it's a good metaphysical store. Obviously, nicely organized.
I mean, I think there's also an argument to be made that the influx of people in witchcraft has caused an influx in capitalizing off of certain witchcraft tools and things, and cheaper versions, more competition. However, I think that everyone who listens to this podcast is aware that you should be shopping small.
Yeah, keep it local.
Don't get your candles from Amazon. Go to your local Botanica. Go to your local metaphysical store.
Yeah! Although, in a pinch, you can go to Yankee Candle. I'm just saying!
Yankee Candle's also a great option.
Michael's
has chime candles, guys. Go to Michael's.
That is pretty wild, actually.
I just hate Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, don't give Bezos money.
I feel like Michael's has chime candles.
I mean, they probably have something.
Hold on.
So keep it out of Bezos's pocket. Yay, nailed it!
Oh, Michael's isn't great either.
Did we keep anything from our old practices?
No, I didn't. I think my late 2021 practice, when I was like, I'm a folk witch. Like, it's just so different. There's nothing that I kept in this area. I'm devoted to one singular goddess. I don't work with a bunch of deities. Because when I was younger, I'm like, here are three different spots for three different deities. That stayed for a while. That stuck. But yeah, I don't think anything's... I mean, even the materials I use are, like, different. I have a bowl, like, that I have kept since I was, like, that age. But that's it. It's just a bowl.
In attempts to sound like the bougiest here, I kept... the audacity. I did, in fact, keep a lot of the confidence that I ended up with when I was practicing. Even back then. I don't know. There's something, it was empowering back then. It's empowering now. And in the exact same way. Like,
yeah.
Getting into a book or getting into like a new field of practice or getting into an unfamiliar thing and it going well. Oh, that gives me the same feels. But that's it. Everything else is drastically different. So I'm
I feel like
okay.
Maybe my relationship with, you know, it has stayed the same. My relationship with animals and animal messengers.
Yeah.
Because that was a huge foundation in starting my craft, was like I was seeing animals as signs, like, and as messages, and connecting with them as messengers. Specifically fox and blue jay and deer, and those three animal spirits are still in my life to this day, and I still rely on them for messages. Of course, there's been like an expansion pack, but like I always know that I'm headed in the right direction or I'm in the right place when like a blue jay makes a nest outside my window, and deer is always not as it's always about Diana now.
It's always about that one person.
Yeah.
So what does that mean it looks like now? What does chaotic witch ant look like today?
Literally, I don't know how to explain. I don't know how to explain my practice like in that way.
I'll take my example is it's a lot cleaner. And it's a lot less dramatic. That's what's happened in my current practice.
I think mine's more low energy and practical. I kind of spent a lot of time focusing on, do I need this? What do I need to do to get this done? Kind of moving in that direction. But that's kind of it. I'm a folk practitioner and a folk witch. So, of course, it's influenced by Italian-American and Italian folk magic and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, mine is, I am the magic now. Like, you know when you first start practicing, I feel like this is a lot of people's first go at it. You feel like magic has to be this big ceremony, you know, with 5 bajillion candles that could burn down your house and like incanting in a different language that you can barely speak. So it sounds like the most hilarious combination of verbs in your entire life. Yeah, I can't do that anymore. are. Oh man, I like
throw some salt around the house, call it a day.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, you know what? I'm a plant, a motherfucking mint plant, and I'm gonna go take a nap. That's about all I'm doing. Spray down my clothes, wear them. That's it.
I think that is in some ways becoming adults.
I'm
not
agree.
not having a lot of fucking free time to like light shit up with the moon.
Well, yeah, and I think it's like we don't feel this dread and like this terrifying looming end of the world feeling, right? Like if you didn't get that person in your life right then and there, like back in the day, then you feel like you were going to die. Now I'm sitting here going like, God, people stay away from me, I'm a nightmare, and honestly you're all not much better, so like let's I don't need to do a big elaborate come to me ritual. Like, in fact, quite the opposite. How do I do it? Go away.
Yeah, I'm not. I would like to be left alone.
Or like my money stuff. I don't sit there with 5 different candles burning and sitting there going like, if I don't get this money right now, then I'm going to perish. Instead, I'm like, hey, yo, I need some cash. So I get cash.
Yep.
I've got a full-time job. Like, I've done the magic. There we go. Nailed it.
Okay.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts is I think it's okay for your practice to change and not look like it did in the beginning. You don't have to right away decide what you're going to do for the rest of your life or what your practice is going to look like. I feel like there's this huge pressure to be like, what kind of witch are you? I don't fucking know, dude. And I wish I didn't have the pressure of putting that label on myself. I also wish that I had known that not everything needs to be a fucking spell. Everything needs to be a spell. And exploring mundane before magic and combining those methods together is really the best option. I mean, I would say, honestly, if anyone listens to this and is like, oh my god, like, everything's different with these guys, it's okay for shit to change. That's how life works.
My thoughts are, I wish I didn't treat witchcraft as, like, this magnificent therapy session. I really wish that I had started knowing that it was a tool for a life tool instead of a an anger therapeutic tool. That's all, so let that shit go.
I relate to that. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Books and Broomsticks. If you want to tell us about how your practice has changed, we'll put a little poll on this Spotify episode, or you can let us know on Instagram, make a post, tag us, and thank you so much for listening. This has been Books and Broomsticks. I'm Chaotic Witchot,
and I'm at Hunter Blaze.
We'll talk to you guys next week.